So finally, in Parshas Bo, we reach the portion in which Rashi tells us the beginning of the Torah should really be where the Torah begins, right? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the first mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. So attached to this idea of Rosh Chodesh, certainly is a good time to speak about Kiddush Levana, this very seemingly mystical prayer and tefillah regarding Kiddush HaChodesh and the coming of the new moon. So what we want to discuss right now is only the tefillos of Kiddush Levana. We want to go through each part, each and every part of Kiddush Levana, and we'll discuss exactly why do we say this part of Kiddush Levana, and why do we? What's the importance of it being in Kiddush Levana? And that's all we're going to do. We're going to see there's actually a lot of chacham and wisdom. We'll also point out what's a early addition to Kiddush Levana, what's part of original Kiddush Levana, what was added later and even after that, and hopefully we'll walk away with a greater understanding of exactly what this seal is. And what the meaning and the significance behind the parts of Kiddush Levana. So, in the standard Siddur, it begins with Haluka Halu Es Hashem in Hashemayim Halu Bimro Mim. So, this is a parak from Tehillim. So, this is based on the comment of the Arizal, the Be'er Hetev, in Siman Tav Chav Vav, where the laws of Rosh Chodesh and Kiddush Levana are found. So, the Be'er Hetev cites the Arizal, who would say Tehillim Kuf Mem Ches, the 148th. Paragraph, chapter of Tehillim, because of one line, which says, "Halu shemesh v'yareach, halu kolcha v'yar." Right, the sun and the moon praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That alone, says the Arizal, is enough to reference it. We say that entire paragraph only until Chog Nasam v'lo Yavor, because Hashem keeps the sun and the moon according to His laws, and they don't change, and everything stays in the same a cycle, and the sun and the moon are always there at the same times. This is all the idea of Shemesh V'Yareach being praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is based on the Arizal Al Pi Sod. The Lakutei Ma'ariach, which is a classic Sefer Minhagim that we often quote from. He says the simple reason is, as we said, Haldu Shemesh V'Yareach V'chok Nasam L'Yavor, similar to the bracha that will say V'chok Uzman Nasam Lahem Shal Yeshnus Tafkidam. The same message of Kiddush Levana is found in the bracha and the Haluka itself, and therefore he says it makes sense why we would say this chapter of Tehillim. Just to note before we continue, in the Maisa Rav, which is the Minhagim of the Vilna Gaon, in Oskuf Samach Aleph, the Vilna Gaon said none of the extra things. The Vilna Gaon only said the parts of Kiddush Levana that are mentioned in Maseches Sofrim, which is the earliest, after the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Mem Beis, which has the bracha, but the earliest source of the Tanaim Yamarai, which discussed Kiddush Levana. So the Vilna Gaon wouldn't say this. The Vilna Gaon only said from the beginning of Baruch Ata Hashem until Sivan Tov Mazel Tov, which is the really shorter part of Kiddush Levana. So we'll have that in mind as we continue. Let's go next. If your minhagim and your background agrees with this, so one may say, Harein Muchra Mazuman, the preparatory remarks before one begins a mitzvah. And we've discussed in the past the difference between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, those who do say this preparation beforehand. There's the famous Shuv Minos of Yehuda in Or HaChaim, where he discusses saying L'Shem Yichud, and all these different types of Kabbalistic statements before you begin any bracha or mitzvah. And this is talked about in the Noam Elimelech, by Rav Elimelech Lubezhensky. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo, he talks about the importance of making statements and declarations of mitzvos beforehand, and all the other svarim as well discuss this idea. The idea, though, that we say at the end, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, that one does this in the name of all Klal Yisrael, this is also an idea based on the Hasidim. The Sefer Morei Naim in Parsha's Precious, the Beis Aron in Parsha's Ekev, discuss the idea that a mitzvah is done B'Shem Kol Yisrael, that you do this invoking the name of all of Klal Yisrael. Now, the minhag of Sfardim at this point would be to say Vahi Noam. Ashkenazim don't say Vahi Noam, but Sfardim would say Vahi Noam at this point. This fits together with the idea of being Motzei Shabbos when you say Kiddush Levana, that we want Bracha, Hashem should bless, Maaseh Yedei Karneu, Hashem should bless the work of our hands going forward. So it makes sense why the Sfardim would want to insert it at this point. Now, let's turn to Kiddush Levana proper, the Bracha itself. The Bracha is pretty much exactly the Bracha as it appears in Sanhedrin and Daf Mem Beis. Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Olam. We open up bracha this way always. Asher b'ma'amaro. What does it mean, Asher b'ma'amaro? So the commentaries on this bracha, the commentaries are found in three major svarim: the Tanya Rabasi, which is one of the Rishonim, the Kolbo, and also it's discussed in other svarim as well, in maybe the Baruch Shamar of the Torah Tamima, But the Tanya Rabasi here says that this is based, what does it mean, Asher Bama Maro? We know that the world is created by Asara Mamaros, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. So that Hashem created the world Bama Maro with his statements. Bara Shefakim. Uvurach Piv Kol Tzivaam. It says in Tehillim Perek Lamed Gimel, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Naasu Uvurach Piv Kol Tzivaam. So this reference of all of the heavens coming through Hashem's mouth is found in Tehillim. Chokuzman Nasan Lahem, that he made established times for the things he created. And Shelo Yushanu Es Tafkidam, that they don't change their cycles, right? The Tanya Rabasi says, the sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. It's all there all the time. Lo Yushanu Es Tafkidam, things don't change. You know, when you wake up in the morning, the sun's going to be over there. And when you go to sleep at night, the sun is going to be over there. Sasu Musmechem, what are they rejoicing about? So Rashi there in Sanhedrin says, this is the Perek Tehillim, Yassis Kagibor La Rutz Orach, that the sun is like a running across the sky, and it's rejoicing in doing the Ratzon Hashem. So the Marsha adds, why do I need to point out that the moon is rejoicing? We all know why, because the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach tells us that the moon was punished because it complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Marsha, even though the moon was punished and it was made smaller, still it does the Ratzon Hashem, it does Hashem's will with simcha and happiness, even though it could certainly have a tiny, it could have a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not fair, Hashem, I'm smaller, whatever, I have to come out, this is my job, what am I going to do, Hashem made me do it? No, he does it besimcha, says the Marsha. And that's why we say it is done sasim u smechem. I saw also in the Baruch Shamar, which is Rav Baruch Epstein's, the Torah Tzimim is Perish on the Haggadah and the Siddur, so he cites the name of the Vilna Gaon. Other Talmidim of the Gra cite this as well, that there's a difference between Sisu and Simcha, to be Sasim and to be Besimcha. Sasim, says the Vilna Gaon, is that happiness before you begin the project. And Simcha is the happiness after you've completed it. And therefore it makes sense, right? It's Sasim Usmechem. When the moon begins its project, it's sasim, it's rejoicing before it starts. And then it's smechim, it's happy, at the end, and this fits with the language of the Vilna Gaon. And it says, Paul emes u'shupulaso emes. Tosis in Sanhedrin, Tamin Rabbeinu Yonah, in Brachos explained that Hashem showed his midah of emes when he judged the moon with din. And therefore we reference Hashem's midah of emes over here. This is a tshuva of the Mari Bruna in Simen Dalet. The Mari Bruna says there are some people who say we shouldn't recite Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av, which is the Meg in many places, but they give a reason as follows. Because in the Medrash it says that during the Chorban, and this is the Kino we read on the night of Tisha B'Av, all of the astrology and all of the heavens are all mixed up. Nothing was in its right place on the night of the Chorban. Therefore, we don't say Kiddush Levana until Tisha B'Av, because that was the period where the moon and the stars and the sun were all out of whack, and nothing was in their right place. And therefore, says the Mari Bruna, one would argue that perhaps one should not say Kiddush Levana until that point. Comes the Mari Bruna and says, no, that's not true. Look here in the language of Kiddush Levana. It says, Shelo Yushanu Es Tafkidam, that they didn't change against Hashem's will. But when it came to the Chorban Avayis, it was Hashem who told the stars, the moon, and the sun to change. And therefore, says the Mari Bruna, it was correct that they changed, because that was the Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, he doesn't agree with their argument. Nevertheless, the meaning is that we don't say Kiddush Levana until after Tisha B'Av. Next, the bracha continues, and we say, Ulefar leYotram al Shem Kavod Malchuso. So the Kobo says in the future, when Klal Yisrael are made great, it'll be Mekadoshim Shemayim. It'll be a pair. The moon is significant in that it represents the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people wax and wane, or on top or on the bottom, so the moon comes and goes as well. And therefore, it'll be a Kiddush Hashem in the future when we are on top and we're Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. And finally, the bracha concludes, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mechadesh Chadoshim, that Hashem renews months. So the Shla writes in his Siddur Shari Shemayim that one may think that we're like the moon when Mashiach comes. Ah, but what about the moon? We know the moon is still going to wax and wane when Mashiach comes, says the Shla. So why do we want to be like the moon? So he says, no. That's why he says, Hashem, when Mashiach comes, will be Mechadesh Chadashim. It will always be new. It'll always be growing. It'll always be positive. We're not going to wane anymore when Mashiach comes. It's always going to be growth, more, bigger, and better. And therefore, that's why we say Mechadesh Chadashim. There are some Girsos in the Masechet Sofrim and some of the Poskim who say it should be Mechadesh Chadashim. And Hashem makes the monks holies. And this is what the Shibbol Yalekhet says, but the meaning is to say Mechadesh Chadashim. Okay, let's continue. That's the bracha. Next, where do we say? Baruch Yotzreich, Baruch Oseich, Baruch Konech, Baruch Barech. We bless Hashem as a creator, a maker, the owner of, and Barech, another word for creation as well. So this is from the Masechah Sofrim. Now, the problem is the Masechah Sofrim doesn't have the words in this order. It has the order of Oseich, Konech, Barech, and Yotzreich. It's all different in order, but it has the same words. So we follow the sheet of the Tur. The Tur says that it should be Yotzer, Ose, Kone, and Bore. Why? Because the Rosh HaTevis in that order spell what? What do they spell in that order?
What?
Yaakov. They spell Yaakov. Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Nun spells Yaakov, says the Tur. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says as well. And this is what the Avodraham writes and the Tashbates. So the Bach says, why do we need to reference Yaakov? What's the big deal? So he says, because Yaakov is compared to the moon. Where do we see Yaakov is compared to the moon? Because the Pasuk says, and this is based on the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, Vayifga b'makom, that Yaakov approached that place by Har Moriah, Vayalan Sham, and he slept there, Kiva HaShemesh. Now the Pashup shot is because the sun was setting. But the Medrash says that's referring to Yaakov. Kiva HaShemesh, because Yaakov has come. Vayikach mavnei hamakom, and he took the stones of that place, and he put them around, and he slept there that night. So the Medrash says, as an additional level of interpretation, that Shemesh doesn't mean the sun, it means Yaakov. That Yaakov came to that place. And therefore, we see from here, that there's a reference, a comparison of somewhat, of Yaakov to the heavenly bodies. The sun, the star, the moon, right? And Yosef's dream, what's Yaakov compared to? The sun, right? Yaakov is compared to the sun as well. So Rav Yosef Engel has a long piece in the Otros Yosef where he talks about how Yaakov is compared to the sun and the moon. But based on the above, says the Bach, if the moon is a reflection of the sun, so says the Bach, Yaakov has an aspect of its comparison to the moon and the sun and the stars as well. And therefore, we order the praises of Hashem, Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Beis, as a reference to Yaakov. So says the Bach. Lavush says, Yaakov is referenced to the moon. Why? Because what's the moon called in the Torah? Hamor HaKatan, the small light. What's Yaakov called in the Torah? Binah HaKatan, the small sun. And therefore, that's a perfect comparison, says the Lavush as well. The Gemara in Chulin, by the famous Gemara of the sun being shrunk, what does the Gemara say? The moon was very upset, and the Hashem says to the moon, don't be worried, there are also great tzaddikim who are small as well. And who's the comparison to? Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, Yaakov has many comparisons to the moon and sometimes the sun. Now, the Mekubalim discuss whether it should be changed or not, but the Eliyahu Rabbah understands the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch that this should be said three times, right? If you look in the Siddurim, it says to say it three times. Now, the problem is it could be that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about later on when it comes to Kishem Shani. It's not clear if the Torah really says that we should say Baruch Yotzeich, but nevertheless, the Minog says the Prima Gadim Lekuta Mariach is that Klal Yisrael says Baruch Yotzeich three times as well. Next, we're supposed to dance, right? The Rokhed Gimel Pamam says the Shulchan Aruch. We're supposed to dance three times back and forth. So what does dancing look like? So sometimes for Ashkenazi Jews were not so good at dancing, but usually our dancing consists of walking in a circle very slowly. So what are we supposed to do for dancing? So the Masechah Sofrim says this, and this is what the Tur and the Ramah writes. So the Meiri explains. The Meiri says that we have Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Gemara says we're being Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. We're receiving a Kadosh Baruch Hu by Kiddush Levana. And therefore, how could we not jump to show our excitement over the mitzvah? Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Yud says the jumping came from people who weren't able to see the moon. That's where it came from. It has nothing to do with Simcha Shel Mitzvah. What's happening? You're standing outside, and there's a tree, there's someone tall in front of you, the clouds are coming back and forth, so people would jump up and down to see the moon during Kiddush Levana, and therefore, people thought that it meant that a person should be dancing, and that's where it comes from.
Why do you have to see it before you say it?
What?
Why do we always ask, can you see the moon? Before we do Kiddush Levana, where they always say, can you see the moon?
Yeah.
So that obviously you can see it before you...
Yeah, so the people were jumping up and down trying to see the moon. So people thought...
Not over here.
Not over here, but that's where the idea of jumping and dancing came from. So, fine. Now, However, many people jump anyway in order to give kavod to the Masechta Sofrim. The Lekhet Yosher notes that the Trumas Hadeshon was able to stand, he would simply rock back and forth. When the Trumas Hadeshon was older and he couldn't jump anymore, he would rock back and forth to show his joy in fulfilling the mitzvah. Now, the Shla in the Shar Osios and Os Kuf, where he discusses Kiddush Levana, Kuf for Kiddush Levana, so the Shla says, be careful not to bow when you're dancing and jumping, because we don't want to look like we're bowing down to the moon. This is what the Mishnah Berurah cites as well. We continue, and we say, "Kishem shani roke kenegdech," right, I'm dancing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we say, "Tipol aleihem amasav afachad, bigdol zeruacha yidmu ka'aven," that our enemies should have fear and they should be destroyed. So the Magen Avraham cites the Mata Moshe, citing the Maharshal, who says that this is the only part of the Pasuk, and actually we're leaving off the rest of the Pasuk. We all say Pesuk and Zimmer every day. So what does it say in the Pasuk? Tipa aleim asav fachad bigdoz rachi ka'aven ad yavoram cha Hashem ad yavoram zukanisa. What happens to the second part of the Pasuk? We know that the Gemara says, kol pasuk tol paskin and Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever Pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up, we're not allowed to. So some of the Siddurim say, you should say the whole Pasuk. But we don't do that. And even though the Mishnah Berurah mentions this, but the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, the Levush, say that we should keep it the way it is. And the Levush says that since we said that our enemies can't touch us, so we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to put fear in their hearts. And that's why we mention this over here. Then we say, reverse. Kevin Yidmu Zeracha Bigdol Pfachad Eimasa Aleihem Tipol. That's usually where people slow down because they can't say the Pasuk as fast before. So what's going on over here? So the Siddurim of the Mekubalim explain ideas al Pisod and Kabbalah, why we put in the other order. Others say that no, really, the Pasuk, when it's reversed, says something positive, and therefore it's referring to the praise of Tzaddikim. That's why the Pasuk is reversed in that way. Then we say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. Why are we invoking David Melech at this point? So first of all, the Ben Ishchai in Vayikra says that it really should be David spelled Malay, Dalad Vav Yud Dalad, even though this, I don't think this is what the Siddurim have, because it's referencing an idea that we're going to point out later on regarding the Pasuk of Kol Dodi Hinei Zebah. Osios Dodi are the same letters as David. But nevertheless, why is it that we're invoking David Melech Yisrael at this point? So the Pri Chadosh cites the Ber Halacha, aside in the Ber Halacha, cites the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chaf Hei that says what? Then they would did Kiddush HaChodesh, they would always announce David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. It's a throwback, a reference to the times of when they would actually announce the moon and go and look at the moon and have to give Edus about it. They would reference David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Rashi explains what? That David and his Malchus are always compared to the moon. David's Malchus face David, is waxing and waning, sometimes on top, sometimes on the bottom, so to the moon is sometimes growing and sometimes getting smaller as well. The Margalios Hayam in Sanhedrin, there in the Gemara, has an amazing gematria. What's the gematria of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam? Rosh Chodesh. Fits perfectly. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam is gematria Rosh Chodesh, and therefore he said it's a Dover Pasha that you should mention it at that time. The Eish Lavram says that David lives forever through his Tehillim. When we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, obviously David is not with us anymore. But he lives with us through his Tehillim and his Tefilos, and that's what we're referencing at this time. We continue, and then we say Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem three times. Now we'll discuss who you're supposed to say Shalom Aleichem to, and what and how much. So this is also from the Masechta Sofrim, and cited by the Ramah. What's the deal here? Says the Matan Moshe, Tavkuf Mem, citing Rishonim, that after we mention the downfall of our enemies, so we turn to one another and we say, no, but not you. Our enemies, they should have bad stuff. But you, I love you. And therefore we wish each person the Shalom Aleichem. It's supposed to counteract the negative things that we said before. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Tshuvos Chadashos of the Maharil in Simen Mem Zayin says that since we are besimcha, since we are being mekabel pnei hashchina, we are greeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Kadosh Levana, therefore we want to spread this love to other people. When you're besimcha, when you're happy, you spread it to other people as well. I'm happy that I'm greeting Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Aleichem to you. Hashem Aleichem to you. Hashem Aleichem to you. I want to spread the joy at this time, says the Maharil. And this is what's cited by the Levush as well. Says the Eliyahu Rabbi here in Sifkat and Dalet, citing the Arizal, that the first kitrug, what was the first negative thing done by Hashem in the world? The thing, first negative aspect that Hashem caused to happen in this world was the moon becoming smaller. Right, the first day was fine, and it took until the moon and the sun in order that something bad should happen the first time. And therefore, says the Arizal, we wish that there should only be shalom in the world. By Kiddush Lavana, which reminds us of the first bad thing that had to happen, where the moon had to be made smaller, we wish for a time where there will be shalom aleichem. There will only be good things, and good things for Klal Yisrael and the world. The Siddur Avodas Yisrael cites the Birchas HaChodesh of Rav Shmuel Friedberg, who said that the person is Mekadosh Lavana, it's a segula to live that month. You'll make out the rest of the month. And therefore, when the person's being Mekadosh Lavana, we say, Shalom Aleichem, Shav Shalom, and good things for the rest of the month, and Arichas Yamin. Why three times? So there's a beautiful tshuva from the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, Norachai Mesimid Lamed Dalet. So he says, Ba'asid Lavo, when Mashiach comes, there will be Shalom in three areas. Shalom from our Yetzahara, we and our evil inclination will be at peace. Shalom between us and other people, shalom enam lechavero, and there'll also be shalom from natural disasters in the world. The world will be a peaceful place where bad things won't happen. And therefore we reference peace between us and Yetzahara, peace between mankind, and peace between us and nature. The Ben Yishai in Parshas Vayikra cites the Medrash Tanchuma that Esav cried three tears when the Bechor was taken from him, and therefore we say Shalom Aleichem three times to counteract and to push back those three sincere tears of Esav. So there shall only be good things for us as well. Other reasons brought in the Sefer Minhagim, the Sefer Matamim, Api Kabbalah. Lukute Mariach says, the Minhagus is says Shalom Aleichem in the plural, even though you're only talking to one person. We don't say Shalom Alecha, we say Shalom Aleichem, because the reality is, this is what we do all the time. We say Shalom Aleichem. Why do we say Shalom Aleichem all the time, even when dealing with one person? So that's a discussion for another time. But he then goes on to say, because the Shalom Aleichem is not just for us. The Shalom Aleichem is also for the moon. So we wish Shalom to your friend, which includes also Shalom and good things for the moon as well. Now, Svardim don't say Shalom Aleichem to individuals. Svardim just say Shalom Aleichem to the whole Tzibor, and then they keep on going at that time. Now,
three times?
What?
They say it three times, though?
They say it three times, but they don't say it to particular individuals. Now, we respond back, Aleichem Shalom. Why do we respond back? So the minhag is to say three times to three different people. Now, the Shulchan Aruch clearly says that you used to say Shalom Aleichem three times to one person. That is clear from the Shulchan Aruch, but apparently nobody in Klal Yisrael read this line in Shulchan Aruch, and we don't say Shalom Aleichem three times to one person. We instead follow Levush, who says you can say Shalom Aleichem a number of times to a number of people. And the Mata Moshe records that the old Minhag Ashkenaz was to say Shalom Aleichem to three different people. And then he says, if you don't have three people, you can say it three times to one person. Rav Shechter in either, I think, Mipnei Arav, brings a story with Rabbi Salvechik that he was driving along with someone and they saw the moon and it was time to do Kaddish Levana, and he got out of the car and he said Kaddish Levana, and he only had one person with him, so he just said Shalom Aleichem to him three times, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's what the Matan Moshe says. Mm-hmm. Only if you don't have three people do you say it three times to one person. But the minhag clearly is to say it three times to other people. Now the Ramah says, Umeshiv Havei Keshoel. If you respond Aleichem Shalom, that is as if you have said Shalom Aleichem. And what that means is, if three people come up to you during Kiddush Levana and you respond Aleichem Shalom to them, you're good. You're done. You don't have to say Shalom Aleichem to anybody else. If it makes you feel warm and fuzzy and happy to go say Shalom Aleichem to somebody else, that's fine. But you don't have to, because once you've given the greeting of Aleichem Shalom three times, it would be the same thing. You could even mix it up. You could get one Shalom Aleichem from somebody else and give two Aleichem Shaloms, however combination you like. Any of those things would be fine. But many people have the custom, nevertheless, because they like it. And the Leket Yosher says that when reciting Kiddush Levana, you don't have to be careful to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe or Mori to your Rebbe. You can just say Shalom Aleichem. You don't have to add the extra titles to someone who is due proper kavod. Next, we then say Siman Tov Mazel Tov Ilan L'Chol Yisrael, which makes sense. It fits with the idea. We want Mazel and Bracha and good things for Klal Yisrael. It's probably just a nice thing to say. Then we cite a pasuk from Shir Hashirim in Perek Beis of Kol Dodi Hineza Ba Medalega Harim. The voice of our beloved is coming, skipping over the mountains. So this is cited in the Matan Moshe as a Kabbalah from Rav Yehuda HaChassid, and it's brought by the Magen Avraham and many Siddurim. And the Siddur of Rav Hertz Shatz, one of the Siddurim of the Mekubalim, says that Dodi is a reference to David HaMelech. Same Osios as David when it's spelled full with a Yud. And therefore, another connection to David HaMelech and the moon and Malchus Beis David, and the same theme being repeated again and again. And then the Siddurim tell us that we say Shir Lamalos Esayinai El Haharim. Why are we saying this now? So the Shla says that you should say to him Kuf Chaf Aleph, and this is brought by the Magen Avraham and Eliyahu Rabbah. And the Siddur of Otis Yisrael explains this is a reference to Shemesh, which is mentioned in the Perek of Tehillim, and it's also referenced in Yareach. Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka VeYareach Balayla. So obviously we're going to make a reference here to the sun and the moon, and to protect them from Ra. And Hashem should protect them. Hashem Yishmarcha Mikol Ra Yishmaras Navshecha. So it's tefillah on behalf of the sun and the moon and all the good things. And the themes are certainly part of Kiddush Levana. Then we are told by the Shla, cited by the Magen Avraham, to recite Tehillim Kuf Nun, the last paragraph of Tehillim, Haluya Halu El Bekadsho Halu Birkiya Uzo. And the Or Choschaim explains that this Mizmor has 13 Halalukas. 13 Halalukas referencing the 13 possible Kiddush Levanas one may say throughout the year because of in a leap year. And therefore that's why we reference this as well, and we should praise Hashem at the proper times of Kiddush HaChodesh. Then we cite from the Gemara, Tano Debei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael said, if it wasn't for the Zechus of Klal Yisrael, it would be enough L'gahakbil Pnei Avim Sheva Shemayim Pam Echos B'chodesh Dayam. It would be enough Zechus for Klal Yisrael to say Kiddush Levana once a month, just to be Mekabel Pnei Ashrina. That's how important Kiddush Levana is. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Shla says we should say this, and it's brought by the Eliyahu Rabbah and all the Siddurim. Why do we say it? So Rav Aaron of Belz is quoted as saying that this is a proof to show that this is a Birchas HaShevach, that this is a praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a machlokas amongst the Rishonim, is Kiddush Levana a praise of Hashem, or is it Birchas HaNenin, a bracha on the benefit we get from the moon? So says Rav Aaron of Belz, no, it's clear this is Birchas HaShevach. Why? Because it says you only have to say Kiddush Levana once a month. If Kiddush Levana was a Birchas HaNenin for getting pleasure from the moon, you'd have to say it every single night. And therefore, he's coming to show us that this is a Birchas HaShevach in praise of Hashem for giving us the moon. Then, Mizo Salam Min HaMidbar Misra Pekis Al Doda from Shir HaShirim, the Sfarim of the Mekubal mentioned this as well. It's not clear what the reason is. And then, we say Yihi Ratzon. Yihi Ratzon is essentially that the moon should be protected and it should be, all good things should happen to it. So, there's no clear source for the Hiratzon, but all different types of versions are brought in the Siddurim of Rav Hertz Shatz and the Tolas Yaakov, and all different Siddurim as well. Rabbi Schechter in Be'ikvei Atzon, in the piece about Yerushalayim, on page Reish Chav Dalad, so he has a beautiful piece regarding the line over here at the beginning. He says, Hashem Elokai V'lokei Avosai, L'melos Pegima Halvana, V'lo Yeba Shum Mu'at, Mishum Mi'at. Hashem should protect or change the damage that happened to the moon. So ask Rav Schechter, quoting Rabbi Salvechik, who cares? This is the biggest star that Klal Yisrael has to deal with, that the moon is smaller. So far it's doing just fine, and we seem to be happy with the moon. So why are we getting so upset about the moon being small? It'll get bigger one day, everything else seems to be working, the tides are coming in at the right time. Why are we getting so broken over the moon being small? So Rabbi Salvechik explained as follows. The moon being small is a representation of the appearance of things being unfair in the world. That Hashem is not giving proper justice. Tzadik l'ralo, bad things happening to good people. And it seems unfair, right? The moon says, what did I do? I was just making a point. Why is it fair the sun should be like this, the moon should be like this? It doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to make any sense. And that's what the smallness of the moon represents. And that's why the Gemara in Chulin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers at the end of the whole discussion, Havea lai kaparasi. I should have kapara, I should be forgiven, so to speak, kaviyachal, for making the moon smaller. Why? What does Hashem need kapara for? What the Gemara means, says Rabbi Salvechik, is the I need kapara, so to speak, because the world is judging me in an unfair way for the unfairness they see. Why is it fair that things should be like this, and why do things happen to, you know, this area of the world, and Hashem, it's not fair that I should have this. Things seem unfair and not right. The moon is smaller, the sun is bigger, and people view the world with a sense of negativity. And therefore, says Rabbi Salvechik, when we're davening, we're not davening for the moon. The moon is the moon, it'll be what it'll be. We're davening for a time, veloya b'shumiyat, where things won't seem unfair and small, and things won't look like they match up. We want a period of clarity where things are clear to us, and we understand why things happen, and the world seems to be fair to us and make sense to our intellects. Rabbi Schechter goes on to make a point that this is why the Yerushalayim in all of Tanakh is spelled without a yud at the end. Yerushalayim is almost always, except in a few places, spelled chaser, without the yud at the end of Yerushalayim. Why, says Rabbi Schechter? Because Yerushalayim represents the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is Hashem's city. It's the place where Hashem shows His power, and therefore Yerushalayim is spelled missing because we live in a world of Gullus where there's a Malek and Hashem's Kisei is not complete, and that's why we leave out the Yud. And Rabbi Schechter then goes on to say that this is why all brachos need to make sense. We don't make brachos if they don't meet our reality of the world. We don't make a bracha on something being good if we don't feel it being good. If we feel that it's unfair, then the bracha reflects that. We say, Baruch Dayan HaMes. Hashem is true, but we don't say, yippity skippity, bad things happen. It might be very religious or very holy thing to say, to have such great hashkach and to see all the amazing things that happen behind terrible things. But most people aren't like that. And our brachos need to reflect that reality. We've quoted here many times Rav Chaim Brisker's verse that we say, V'ani b'chasecha b'tachti yagel b'bishuasecha. I have bitachon in Hashem that the good things are going to happen, but when do I praise Hashem? Ashir la Hashem only ki gamal alai. You only sing out to Hashem when I actually get the chesed. Not when I think there might be chesed, but when I actually receive the chesed as well. Okay, let's pull up to the end over here. We finish with Lamanat Seach, Benegios Mizmor Shir, another parak of Tehillim, Tehillim Samach Zion, side by the Kitzur Shlom, and he says the Mekubalim recommends saying this in the shape of a menorah. So if you look in the Siddurim, sometimes it'll be spelled out in the shape of a menorah. The Likutei Ma'ariach says there's no clear source for this. It could be connected to the idea of the Avudraham, that saying this Lamanat Seach is like being Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. It's like greeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we take this parak of Tehillim, which is like receiving Hashem, and we match it up with Kiddush Levana, which is like receiving Hashem, and we bring them together, and Shalom Yisrael. Let's get to the main question at the end here, which is Aleinu. Why do we say Aleinu at the end of Kiddush Levana? So the Shamech Hagiga cites the Avodas HaBore, who says that one should say Aleinu after Kiddush Levana because Yehoshua was the author of Aleinu, as we know from the Gemara in Bava Basra. And what do we know about Yehoshua? Yehoshua is like Kipnei Levana. He was like the moon to Moshe Rabbeinu's son. And therefore, it would be appropriate to have another reference to a moon-type author at the end of Kiddush Levana. This is what Likutei Ma'ariach writes. And he writes in the Siddur of Shabtai Sofer that this was the minhag of Yerushalayim as well to say Aleinu. Comes the Bir Halacha, the Heilig, the Chafetz Chaim, and Simtach Avav, and the Chafetz Chaim gives probably the more famous answer, which is that we don't want it to look like we're bowing down to the moon. But we just had all these wonderful tools about the moon. Yay moon, yay moon, yay moon. And oh, how the moon is so amazing. And one might walk away and say, oh, maybe we worship the moon. And clearly that would be a violation of the Ten Commandments. So the Chafetz Chaim says, we say Aleinu at the end, so we should be aware and we should know that Aleinu l'shaveach l'adon hakol. We actually dive into Hashem, and this is just something we do to other mitzvahs as well. But really, our adon hakol is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chidah says we shouldn't say this at all because there's no source and it's made up. And Reb Chaim Palash in the Ruach Chaim comes and defends the minhag. So many Sephardim don't say this, and some Sephardim do say this as well. The Chazon Ish writes in a number of places that if a person says Kiddush Levana alone, he should not say Aleinu. I guess it might be because no one's going to think you're worshipping the moon if no one else is around, and therefore there's no reason to say Aleinu. And then, in most of the sermon, we end with Aleinu, with a Kaddish Yasom, and Ad Kan, Kiddush Levana. Good.